Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 27, Acts chapter number 27. Number 22, we're reading all the way through verse number 25. The Bible says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Dearly Father, O God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, that we would be of good cheer. O God, as the house of God, as the children of God, as your church, Lord, as your bride, that we would be the happiest people on earth. And Lord, that by our countenance, folks would know that we have been with you, that we belong to you, and Lord, most of all, that we have the good news of life everlasting. Lord, be with us tonight. Once again, Lord, empty me of self, that what is said and done will give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Mm-hmm. This morning I said, and it has held true for many sermons since I came here, that I don't normally title my messages, but tonight, once again. And tonight is the title of the message for those of us that need titles. Mostly my brother keeps telling me what's the title for this as we're posting them on the webpage. But tonight's title is Five Reasons to be Cheerful. Five Reasons to be Cheerful. In Acts chapter number 27, we see that Paul twice encourages the men that are with him, men who had by every indication, no knowledge of Jesus, other than Paul's testimony as he traveled with them. And twice he encourages them to have cheer, to be of good cheer. And there's five reasons, there's more than that, but I picked out five and for tonight just for sake of time, because if we went through all of the reasons why we should be cheerful, and we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, it would take us, well, these seats aren't comfortable enough. We'd have to get recliners or something. But number one reason that I listed for tonight for us to be cheerful is our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2, it says, "And behold, they brought him to him, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh man, tonight as Christians, as followers of Christ, but more of all, as the redeemed of the blood of the Lamb, we ought to be so excited that our sins are forgiven us. There's too many times around the world and amongst the Christians that the folks that claim the name of Christ, the ones that say they've received him as their personal Savior, that their sins are covered with the blood, they're not excited about this. And oh, we ought to be, that our sins are forgiven. The psalmist, he was still looking forward to when the Redeemer came, when he wrote, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." In Romans 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul wrote, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Oh, we ought to be excited about that. That ought to be, if we have no other reason to be cheerful, our sins are forgiven. We, oh man, we ought to, you know, and we talk about it and say we can't go through all of the reasons we ought to be cheerful, but when we wake up in the morning, we ought to be happy that we woke up in the morning. Unless we were up all night, then we ought to be happy when we do wake up. No matter why. If for no other reason than when our eyes open up, we know that we're redeemed, that our sins are forgiven, that if Jesus would, you know, remember when we were kids, now I never prayed this because my mom taught me how to pray right, but so many times they do those little cutesy little prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, a bag of peanuts at my feet. If I die before I wake, you know I died of a tummy ache. And we teach our kids, you know, something just so they'll get in the habit of prayer and stuff, and we do all of that. But oh, when we wake up in the morning, boy, we ought to be excited that our sins are forgiven. If Jesus would have come back in the night, because it says, I don't know when he's coming, whether it be daytime, nighttime, dusk, or dawn, but it says we ought to watch, lest he come upon us as a thief in the night. That'd be so sad if we're asleep in the middle of the night. Not physically, but spiritually, he comes back and catches us. Mm-hmm. With our hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. But oh, we wake up in the morning, we ought to be so excited about being alive, about knowing that, hey, my sins are forgiven. We ought to, that there ought to be so exciting. We, as a kid, we used to sing all the time, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Oh, that, you know, and well, those are kids' songs, and I wrote down that part, otherwise I'd forgotten it by the time I got to this part of my message. But the rest of the song, dude, when we get up in the morning, when we can't think of anything else to be excited about, we ought to, you know, scare our spouse. Gone, 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 gone. So what? What's gone? My sins. They're buried under the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad that you're married to a child of the King that we just, like we just say? Amen. Oh man, you go, Pastor, you're getting all excited. Boy, I was tired. I had some issues Friday night at the apartment complex with some people breaking into cars, and I just couldn't sleep after that. Finally got some fitful sleep on Saturday morning. Then I was up last night till late this morning, even though the time went back, I missed a couple hours there somewhere. Just getting ready for this morning, and when I haven't quite figured out how to do it yet. Pastor Blake, with many years of experience, maybe he's able to, when he gets in the middle of studying and just starts pouring through the Word of God, is able to just close it up and go to bed. Not me. Boy, I start getting into the Word of God and I start getting excited about what Jesus is saying, and boy, I can't go to sleep, so I might as well just stay up. Last night, or this morning, I laid down, and when I laid down, I started thinking about what I'd read. And I generally don't have a hard time falling asleep. You can ask my wife. My head hits the pillow and the next morning I wake up. But last night, I kept thinking back over some of the verses that I read and some of the passages that I had studied as I prepared for Sunday school and as I prepared for the morning message. And boy, I got excited and I started going, man, I ought to just get back up and start taking down notes. Next thing I knew, the alarm was going off. But oh, we ought to be so excited about our sins being gone. And the second thing that I wrote down, and it's out of so many choices, but it's Jesus in the midst of our storms. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 27. We know the story. Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side. And they're rowing. In Mark, it says they were struggling hard against the waves, and Jesus was walking on the water. Now, in my personal belief, is Jesus had sent them across to the other side. When he stepped out onto the lake, he was taking the shortest way from point A to point B, the same way he sent the disciples. Only he didn't need a boat. I don't believe that he was walking along necessarily to see how the disciples were doing or to sneak up on them and see if they were doing what was right. I believe that he was walking the same direction that they had been rowing because that was the closest point to where he told them to go. You're saying, well, Pastor, you're saying that he didn't know that they were in trouble? No, I believe he knew they were in trouble.
That's right.
But as he's walking along and as he's passing by them, they see him and they cry out in fear, assuming it to be a spirit. Now I can picture you've got Peter and a couple of other disciples who were fishermen who had spent nights on the ship. And you know, guys will be guys. And they start sitting around the campfire or sitting out there, you know, waiting for the fish to bite or whatever. And they start telling stories. And I can just imagine as the winds came up, Matthew, who's writing this passage, is in the boat with them. And Matthew was not a fisherman. In fact, Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was what most sailors would term a landlubber. Mm-hmm. Now, judging by some of the stuff that Peter does and says in the passages that we have of him in the scriptures, I can picture Peter starting to tell stories. Mm-hmm. And the other disciples joining in with him. And next thing you know, Matthew starts getting a little nervous, plus the waves are going. But then the disciples, all the rest of them, start getting involved in all this because it's the water. The Bible says the storm gets, the waves are rough and the wind is contrary to them. And then all of a sudden they see something walking on the water. And as tough as we may think we are, we haven't seen anything like that, and I don't hardly blame them for crying out. But in Matthew 14:27, the Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Hey, when we're in the storms of life, God has said, go from point A to point B, and the wind and the waves and the circumstances of life start bashing against us, and our ship is like to go down, or we're unable to make any headway in whatever we believe we're supposed to be doing. And Jesus is still saying, he's not yelling at us. He's not raising his voice. I believe that because it says Jesus spake unto them. The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing against the boat. And I believe Jesus just said, be of good cheer. And they heard him clear as a bell and just, oh, it is I. Boy, we're doing all this and Jesus is in the midst of our storm. In Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 5, says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And we usually use that as a comforting verse that, oh, you know, I'm not the only one in this trouble, in this boat, but it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, in the middle of the temptation, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the trial, Jesus is going to be of good cheer. It is I. And the escape is the same escape that Peter had as he stepped out of the boat, got a distance away from the boat and started looking around and started sinking and crying out, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand. And his hand is stretched out still. Yeah. The third thing that we ought to be cheerful about as Christians after remembering that our sins are forgiven, remember that Jesus is in the midst of all of our storms, that Jesus has overcome the world. That this battle isn't mine, that this battle isn't something that I have to worry about, that this battle isn't my efforts and my struggles, but that Jesus has overcome the world. John 16, verse number 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." 1 John 5, 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Oh, as we've been studying about faith on Sunday mornings and trying to grow our faith, and because faith, just like our muscles, don't grow. Correct my English before my mom hears this. Our faith doesn't grow without effort. Without our focusing on it, without our doing something in that area. Heard a song on the way home on the radio this morning after the service, and the thought is okay, but I disagreed with the song. It said, after you've done all you can, remember Jesus. And man, I'm going, boy, they should have been in the service this morning, because it's remember Jesus and then do what you can. I don't believe he just hands us anything, that even our faith, that the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith is built up by us leaning on Jesus. Romans 8, verse number 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Oh man, we ought to get excited. We ought to be cheerful that we're conquerors because Jesus loved us. We sang that song, "Jesus Loves Even Me," this morning. What, you know, if we're doing that thing that nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat worms, we ought to be excited about the fact that Jesus loves even us. And that because of his love, we're a conqueror. Psalms 23, verse number 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Hey, that goes back to Jesus in the midst of our storm, but it also, be cheerful because Jesus is the victor. Jesus has overcome. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Oh man, if we can't get excited about that, then oh, we don't have to worry about where we're going to go. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. That our Bible was written. God saw to it that it was translated into the English language so that we could read it. And he gave it to us so that we could have comfort, but also so that we could have hope. But most of all, so that we could know where we would spend eternity. Verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, we ought to be cheerful because through Jesus Christ we have victory. We put it on our own shoulders and wonder why we can't do it. But through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, reason why we ought to be cheerful. We are witnesses of Jesus. Acts chapter number 23, verse number 11. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified in me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." Now, we understand, having the full story written down for us and have maybe read it multiple times, that going to Rome wasn't necessarily a cakewalk for Paul. But all that he was able to be, God said, "Be of good cheer. You've been a testimony to me. You're going to be a testimony somewhere else." My wife and I like to travel. If we're a testimony here, God will allow us to be a testimony somewhere else. He'll provide the way that we can be a testimony somewhere else. And oh, he'll make it happen. Be of good cheer. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, we ought to be excited about the fact that we're able to be witnesses. And you know, it's a whole lot easier to be a witness about something that you're excited about, that you're happy about. You can be, and it is common knowledge that if you have a bad experience somewhere, that you will tell about 100 people. If you have a good experience somewhere, you'll tell about 10 people. But I believe that if we're excited about something, we will tell, and, well, especially now with Facebook. We'll take a picture of the plate of food they served. There's some posts that, oh man, this is the best thing I haven't eaten yet. You know, I don't know. But wow. But beyond that, the Christian, we have the awesomeness that hey, Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and we ought to be so excited about that He died for us and He died for the whole world, and all to be able to be in cheer because we get to tell people about Jesus. In fact, Proverbs, he says, 25:25, is cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh man, we go around telling people about Jesus and trying to win them to the Lord, trying to lead them to the Lord. Are we cheerful when we're doing it? Mm-hmm. We ought to be, because we have the good news. And we ought to be so excited about it. Hey, you wouldn't believe what I got to tell you today. Because we ought to be such that, man, if you only have a minute, I'm so excited about